on this rainy Wednesday evening. So before we left the house, I know Miss Glenda said it started raining about 5 minutes before she left. Same with us. First was the big old, the thunder, the boom. And rain followed. But supposed to have a good weekend, so looking forward to that. They say supposed to be a nice St. Patrick's Day. Was that tomorrow?
Yeah.
St. Patty's Day tomorrow. And we praise the Lord for the good weather. Praise the Lord for the inconvenient weather. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight, and good to see each and every one of you. And don't know if anybody could tell a difference driving in the parking lot tonight or not, but the church has lost all of its hair, and we had the demo of the of all of the plants and bushes, and so that went well. Had all the stumps grinded, and then had it all strawed. So if you didn't recognize that, you might want to get a checkup on your eyesight, because it was a definite renovation, a definite transformation. And we're looking forward to sprucing things up, making it a little more presentable and welcoming for younger couples and anyone else who wants to come to church over here at Calvary. But next Monday will be the actual painting of the church. And so looking forward to that. And it's been a long time coming. And so you can take pride in that, your church getting painted and everything. It's going to look nice. It's going to look real nice. And so we'll jump right into our prayer request and all. I do want to say that, again, this time last week we were in Jubilee, had a great Jubilee week. One soul got saved, and again, we were able to pray for Brother David Smith in service, all of our deacons and ordained preachers. It was just a great, great time to be here. And actually, Brother David was supposed to go today for a biopsy to see where he's at with his cancer. And so we're waiting to hear back from him, and we'll let you know just as soon as we receive word. Let's remember Brother Mike Mullins. This is a missionary. Brother Don Rich had reached out to me, and Mike Mullins' wife actually was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. I believe she was going either yesterday, today, or tomorrow, something like that, to see if it spread any. And so I told Brother Don, I said, we'll certainly lift her up, this family up in prayer. So let's remember the Mullins family when we pray. Miss Ruby Harper, she had her second skin cancer surgery today, and it was a success. So reached out to Steve, her son, and he said he appreciates the prayers, and she's in some pain, but she'll... that pain should subside pretty soon, and she'll be doing okay. Let's remember her in our prayers. And of course, Brother David Henderson's friend Gary, that has that retired from work, his prostate cancer. Is he about the same, brother? About the same. And then, the other prayer request. The name leaves me, but God knows my heart. I've mentioned her.
Kim Baxter.
Kim Baxter. And what kind of, is it cancer?
No, she has stroke.
Stroke. Okay. So let's remember Kim Baxter, also family friend, friend of the family, in our prayers as well. Brother Eddie Rich, has he had his skin cancer surgeries yet? Okay. Well, let's remember him in his back. Brother Ed, how's he doing tonight?
Good.
We'll take it. Absolutely. So, we appreciate the help that met you guys in the parking lot here last week. Was it Sunday morning?
Sunday morning.
And she came and sat right beside you, and I thought that she came with you guys. And it's just
she
a blessing.
She helped me in, though. She yelled at first.
Yeah.
Do you need help? And I said, okay.
And so I didn't lie when I said she has some good help with her today. Whether she rode with her or met her in the parking lot, you had some good help with you. And so we appreciate that. And I just wanted to bring that out. So let's remember Brother Ed, Miss Mary Ann, and let's remember Travis Puckett. Travis Puckett was a young man who got saved on last Wednesday night, who said he got saved, but tried to reach out to him. I didn't get no answer. He does have a home church, and so we're gonna keep trying to reach out to him and get an answer from him. But let's remember him in prayer. Brother Charlie Wilson, Parkinson's disease, broken hip, prostate cancer. He's back at home. His wife is looking for a little bit of help, about 1 hour a week, I think it was, that I was told, we were told. And so I guess she needs, well, I don't guess, I know she needs time to leave and to just, Miss Marianne, you know all about that. And so let's remember the Wilsons in our prayers and the needs that they have tonight. All right. Just going to call out the other names on our list. Randy and Diane Ely, our children's home, all of our house parents and workers and staff there. Max, what, has about another week, or is he?
He went to school today.
He did. Oh, I can imagine. Okay. Okay. Awesome. Has the pain pretty much subsided? Good, good, good. Well, praying for Max and everyone else at the home. So let's remember him, Bobby and Nancy McClendon. As we all know, the valley they're going through with having buried their son-in-law. And, of course, prayers from Miss Nancy's daughter Kelly and Tanner. Pretty sure Tanner, the son, is back in school at UGA. So let's just remember them as they walk through this with their daughter. Let's see. Brother Michael Bendy, our new member, he's at home tonight. Had a very busy work day today, but also Miss Shauna, she's downstairs with the youth tonight. And Brother Brian, they're all talking about puppets and the potential puppet ministry. So that's something exciting around here. But let's remember Michael again. He has a fever. He's at home, not doing well. And two, he still has his condition that they're trying to figure out, whether it's kidney stones, something in the stomach. And so let's remember him when we pray. CC and Chuck, Miss CC's mother who has breast cancer. Let's continue to remember Brother Harold Dolph, Leonard, Dolores Palmer, James and Shirley Townsend, Johnny and Pat Eccles, Miss Mary Kelly, the Teagues, Don Daly, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, which will be coming back in town June. So they got some things to take care of. Miss Claudia, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins and those in the military. Let's remember them when we pray. Any special requests or needs tonight or praise reports? Brother Jeff? Jeez.
Yeah, she could have been paralyzed with the injuries that she had with the neck. There was no damage to spinal cord and things like that. So we're just really thankful for that. It could have been a whole lot worse. So she is in recovery. They didn't keep her overnight.
Wow.
Yeah. But we just pray for a speedy recovery.
Mm-mm.
We're praying for a speedy recovery.
Sure. Let's remember this request. The Hodges' daughter, Amy, flew off her motorcycle or flipped off, but she was able to come home from the hospital the same night. Miss Marion. This is your sister. And her name again?
Peggy.
They
can't get her. They have her on the highest amount of oxygen they can give her. And they can't get her blocked. Can't get it low.
Is this in relation anyhow to COVID? No, non-related. Okay.
Too much smoking.
Yeah. Oh, great. Excellent. Wow. So glad to hear that. It's your prayer. Anyone else? All right. Well, all that would, meet us in the altar. We'll have a time of prayer together. And when we get back, Brother Jeff has a song for us, and then we'll bring the lesson for tonight. Amen. Appreciate the cross tonight. Appreciate Mount Calvary. And I also appreciate Calvary Baptist. Both. What a blessing. All right, make your way to Psalm 55 for a few moments this evening. Psalm 55. Just a few moments. And I feel led to mention a familiar verse or psalm tonight. We use this pretty often at funerals. Preached it here before, but I feel like it's what we need for tonight. So maybe someone's here that needs to hear Psalm 54. Psalm 54 tonight is a psalm of David, of course. And this psalm records the highs and lows in David's life. One specifically, one high, one low. And this particular psalm, in verse 13 says, "But it was thou, a man, mine equal, mine guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." And so this particular psalm has to do with a hurt that was close to David's heart. And they went to the house of God together. They actually took sweet counsel together, the Bible says. We took sweet counsel together, verse 14, and walked into the house of God in company. Some of the worst hurts I think there is in life is the hurt of someone that's close to you. Someone that somebody has said, someone that is close to you, whether it was something behind your back they said, well, or whether it was something to your face they said, or whether it was something that they did, some kind of act that they did. David's heart is broken here. He said, "We went to church together. He was my guide. We took sweet counsel together." And he says, "My heart is broken." This chapter deals with enemies and it deals with violence. And I don't know if all of this David is talking about is over this one person or not. But David definitely felt led to pin this down in this chapter. And so he's talking about some highs and lows. And we all know in life we have highs and lows. I like those high times, Brother David. Those high times when nothing can offend me. I mean, I'm like Superman flying in here on Sundays, you know, just like this. Nothing can offend me. Nothing can bother me. You know, I'm just spiritually fortified. And even outside of church, Mondays and Tuesdays, just going through my day. And, you know, nobody can make me angry and cut me off in traffic. Nothing like that at all. They shortchanged me at the restaurant. I'm not mad about it. I laugh and, you know, say they probably needed it. A lot of highs and lows in life, and I like those high times. It's the low times that really bother me, and it's those low times that God is growing all of us up in. It's the times when you are shortchanged and you really let that waitress know or waiter know how you feel about it. It's the time when you are cut off in traffic and we're not going to talk about what you know, you might do when that happens or might say in traffic when that happens. But greater than that, the low times in life when there's a death in your family or, again, according to this psalm, there is a hurt. You've been hurt because of someone that's close to you, something they said or something they did. Those low times are hard times. I really like those high times, but not those low times. And I always try to remember every service that we're together, there are those in one room that are experiencing high times and low times at the same time. And that's what makes it so difficult to know which sermon, which lesson to preach and teach, because you just don't know what the message is that God wants. So therefore, you have to wrestle to get it. And speaking along those lines, there are those in any particular service that only can digest the milk of the word. And then there are those in any particular service that are looking for the meat of the word. And so we have a lot of things going on at one time in any service. And we have a lot of high times and low times. And so this is what David is experiencing. Because of the gravity of this situation in Psalm 55, it caused great grief for David. He is definitely going through a low time. And with that said, I want to read verse number 6, verse number 7, and verse number 8. Again, familiar verses. I've mentioned and read before, but I feel like this is the verses for tonight. With everything going on, David says in verse number 6, "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, David's wish for wings. David's wish for wings. I've preached before, dove wings or eagle wings. And certainly have mentioned this in several funerals. But David wished for wings. He said, if I had it my way, I'd just fly away. Who's been there before? Who's never been there before? You will. To that place in your life where you are experiencing lows or a low time and you just wanted to fly away. You wanted to leave the circumstance. You wanted to go off way out yonder in the wilderness and just be left alone. Nobody knows where you're at, just you. A place of isolation and solitude. That'll be your pick. Tonight, I wish that I could do that at times. Not necessarily going through a low time, but times I wish I could go on a sabbatical or something. Just go to a place of isolation and solitude where it could just be me and the Lord. And a time where I could reflect and meditate. All of us experience those times in our life. Whether it's a good time, bad time we're going through, we all at times wish for wings. And so David had that wish. He had that desire that he could just leave his situation and be at a place of peacefulness. Now tonight I want to mention three simple things in these verses. And I hope it'll just be a little encouragement to us as we get through Wednesday night and go on to finish the rest of our week. In verse number 1 through 5, we see David's warfare. Look at verse number 1. He says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." Number 1, David says, "Give ear to my prayer." And so by what David is already saying in this verse, he is talking like there's times where he knew God had his ear, or when David knew he had God's ear. But based upon this verse here, he's talking like he wonders if he has God's ear. And so he stresses in this very first verse, he says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God." Many times in David's writings in the book of Psalms, he prays with confidence, and "God, I know you hear me, and Lord, I pour my heart out to you," and all of these things. But here there's special emphasis laid upon David calling out to God, wanting his ear. "Give ear to my prayer, O God." And then he says, "And hide not thyself from my supplication." David felt as though God was hiding from him. If he didn't feel that way, he would not have pinned down, "Hide not thyself from my supplication." You ever been there before where you wanted God's ear, you just wasn't sure if it was reaching the rooftop or going to God's ear beyond the rooftop or not? You wasn't sure if you had God's ear. Other times you would pray, you knew you had God's ear. And then those times beyond that where you felt like God had just abandoned you or he was hiding from you. There's been times where I would go and pray and And we're not basing our Christian walk upon feelings, but we do feel certain ways at times. There's times where I pray and I feel a liberty in my prayers. I feel a connection in my prayers. Everything doesn't have to be going right, but I feel connected when I pray. There's other times where I don't feel connected when I pray. And I've been doing the very same things I was doing back when I felt connected when I prayed. That's the things about emotions and feelings. When we experience lows, our emotions are high. Isn't that funny? When we experience lows, our emotions are high. And sometimes when we pray, we don't feel that connection. We don't feel like God is near, but according to His Word, He is near. Our emotions are high, and when we pray, when we're going through a low time, sometimes we feel like God's not hearing us. We feel like God is not near to us at times. You remember when Jesus arose from the grave and the disciples, they just didn't know what to do. Of course, those two on the road to Emmaus I referred to pretty often. And they were downcast and they were discouraged. And Jesus kind of came in on them. They were unaware it was Him. But they asked Him, "Why are your faces so sad?" And they told Him why. Because the one who we thought was the Messiah, He died, He was buried, and on the third day, His body was stolen. I'm paraphrasing here. We don't know where He is. We don't know what to think. And then we know that stranger began to expound on the Scriptures, and their hearts began to burn. But nonetheless, they had an experience where they felt as though God was hiding Himself. Many times in life, that's what happens to us. David was experiencing this. He said, "Lord, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." Verse 2, he says, "Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." He says, "I mourn in my complaint." Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in verse 4 says, "There's a time to mourn in a time to dance." And no doubt David was going through a time of mourning here. And he was mourning and he was crying out to God. He's been hurt in his heart. It was someone close to him. The enemies were after him. And he felt like God wasn't near. His emotions were high and he was going through a low place. There are times and seasons in life where we go through those things. There's a time to mourn. Funerals are times that we mourn. Betrayal are times that we mourn. Great loss are times that we mourn. There's just a season for mourning. But there's also a season for dancing. There's a season where when you pray that not only you know biblically and based upon God's promises He hears your prayers, but you feel it once again. You know you've connected to Him. And that's a time to dance. That don't mean break out in the Elvis dance and blue suede shoes. That don't mean break out in the Michael Jackson dance and start, moonwalking. Y'all don't know this, but I can moonwalk. Hey, it can look just like, buddy, I'm walking on the moon. It's not a particular dance. It's just this little Michael Jackson move. Anyway, my sister taught it when I was a teenager to me. But times to dance. You know, David danced one time for the Lord. And while I'm not promoting putting together a dance ministry here at the church, I am saying that God deserves our praise. There's low times, there's high times. David is experiencing a very low time where his emotions are high and he's going through a time of mourning. We better learn how to dance when we experience those high times, because those low times for sure are coming. Learn how to mourn. Learn how to dance. And then look at verse number 3. Again, my first point is David's warfare. Verse 3, the Bible says, "Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Look at that first line. Because of the voice of the enemy. I wonder what that voice was saying to David. Maybe something like this. David, old boy, you're done. David, old boy, we're going to kill you. David, old boy, you'll never be the reigning king you think you'll be. David, old boy, your God has forsaken you. David, you're down for the count. David, there's no use of trying. We're tracking you now, and you're going to be our prey. Sounds a lot like the devil, doesn't it? The devil comes after you and I, and he says that we're done. Satan says we're finished. The devil says, why even try? He says he's tracking us. He knows our weaknesses because he's seen us fail before. And what I say tonight is, let us not listen to the voice of the enemy, but let us listen to the voice of truth. In fact, there's even an older song out, I believe it's by Casting Crowns. To say older song by one of these newer groups, well, they're really not even a newer group. Contemporary music, I'll say, says the voice of truth. The voice of truth. What a song that is. I remember listening to that song when I first got saved. And I remember crying and weeping. Just anything Christian made me cry when I first got saved. But he talked about in that song, the voice of truth is calling you out on the waters, I believe it is. The voice of truth, it gives you peace. It gives you calm. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. The voice of truth. David was going through a time where he was listening to the voice of the enemy. He listened to the, after his heart was broken from his companion in ministry, he listened to these that said, you're done. Your reign is over. You'll never be the king you intend to be. You're finished, boy. You are prey to us. That's the kind of voice he listened to. And if David listened to that voice continually and was defeated, the same thing goes for you and I. Doesn't matter how young or old we are. We listen. If we listen to the voice of the enemy, we'll be a defeated Christian. I believe Paul said the statement, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so that bears some thinking about that statement. I believe that's in the book of Acts. I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong. But verse 3, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Look at verse 4. My heart is sore pained within me. In other words, my heart is broken. And the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And so David's perception of life is, and the highness of his emotions and the lowness of his valley has his eyes on the enemy, has his heart broken, and everything in his life is falling apart. He says, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. I remember one time, I think it was the first church I was at, me and Christy and Lily, and we were going through some church things there, and it was my first church, and I just, there were some things that needed to be corrected. I've never corrected in a church before, never exercised church discipline, and so I was scared. I was nervous. And so there was actually a fear and a trembling that came over me. I could not help but think about the worst. Well, if I do this, then what will happen here? And if I do this, then what if it falls apart and it doesn't go the way I think it should go? What's going to happen to me and my family? And it was like a horror came over me. And I was almost like paralyzed in my decision making. I didn't do anything for a while. I was froze. But there came a time where I had to make a decision, and it all went well. And most of the time it does. It's just the fear of something that cripples us, something the devil likes to use to make us paralyzed spiritually. David, he was overwhelmed by the environment. Enemies, friends that turned their back on him, the oppression, the sin, the iniquity they tried to cast on him and forge upon him like he was guilty of some sin. And the wrath and the hatred. And so David says, my heart is broken and horror hath overwhelmed me. This is David's warfare tonight. This is what David was feeling. So sometimes in life we feel these ways. Let me mention number two. Not only do we see David's warfare, but in verse number 6-8, we see David's wish. David's wish. In verse number 6, he said, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. Or think on that a moment. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. David's wish in verse number 6 had to do with wishing for wings. He said, if I had wings like a dove, he said, I would just fly away. He said, all of these things going on, all of the emotions I feel, I'd just fly away and won't have to worry about a thing. What a blessing that would be in life if we could just ball everything up that's troubling us, you know, and just throw it away and not have to worry about it again. Or if we could just mount up with wings and we can just fly away, you know, and not have to worry about anything again. Here again are emotions. High emotions in low places. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. But David's wish for wings, he said, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Number one, David wanted to fly away because he was harmless as a dove. Now David uses a dove here. He says, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Why a dove? Well, we could probably dig up all kinds of explanations. But one reason I feel like is because doves are harmless. Doves are not vultures. David didn't say, oh, that I had wings like a vulture. Or, oh, that I had wings like a hawk. You see, all of those are meat eaters. And can be very aggressive. But David has given us a picture of his standing before God. He says, I'm harmless. I'm innocent. Back in verse number 3, the Bible says that for they cast iniquity upon me. David said, I'm like that innocent dove. I'm harmless. So if I had wings like a dove, I'd just fly away and be at rest because doves are harmless. But also, David said, I'll fly away because he was harmless as a dove, but because he was innocent as a dove. Now, the harmless nature of a dove means it's not like a vulture. It's not like even an eagle. It's not like, you know, it's not like a hawk. It's not a meat eater, nothing like that, in my estimation. It's not aggressive, like those other birds. So David is saying, in character, I'm harmless. But he's also saying, in character, I'm innocent. He wanted to fly away because he was innocent as a dove. Pure as a dove. You remember in Noah's Ark when the Lord said, come, Noah and his family, they all came into the ark, two of every kind came into the ark. Now, what happened after the rain stopped? He released a dove and he released a raven. We know that the dove came back because it found no place for the sole of its foot. But listen to this. Interesting study. The raven did not come back. And so if the earth was still covered with water and there were no signs of life, then why was it that the dove came back and the raven did not? Well, somebody said, well, the raven just didn't have no sense and it kept flying around and just eventually died. Well, that's one way to look at it. Sometimes you got to read between the lines in Scripture. Be carefully read between the lines. I feel like that raven did not come back. I'm going to start with the raven. The raven did not come back because of all the bodies that were floating on the water, in the water, that died. According to Scripture, nobody got in the ark but Noah's family and the animals. Eight souls saved, as it were, by water, Peter says. And so there were all of those bodies out there, and a raven is attracted to flesh. Now, the dove is not attracted to flesh. It came back. I believe the reason the dove came back because it was a pure animal. It was an innocent animal. It was a clean animal, and so it didn't light upon any of that rotten flesh. But it did come back finally as he retrieved it and sent it out again. It did come back with the olive branch in his mouth. Because doves are attracted to life and cleanness, if you will, and innocency. And so David says, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Why a dove? Because I'm harmless. Why a dove? Because I'm innocent. I'm pure of nature. And they have forged a plan against me and said that I've sinned. I'm going through an all-time low. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I just want to fly away. So many times we just want to fly away and be at rest. This is David's wish for wings. He just wanted to fly away. Now, with this wish, there is a problem. David's wish was to fly away because he was harmless and innocent as a dove. But with David's wish to fly away, there was a problem. Look at verse number 7. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. What's the problem with wanting to run from problems in life? What's the problem with the wilderness where David wanted to flee? The problem is the wilderness is not the will of God for David's life. Wasn't the will of God for the children of Israel. And the wilderness is a picture of problems. It's a picture of temptation. You remember when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Now that was God's will, but it was for a purpose to prove the devil wrong. And much, much more over in Matthew 4:1. But the problem is that when people, including myself at times, want to just run away and never come back, the problem with that is there's nothing but heartache, temptation, isolation, and problems when we're trying to run from problems. Running from problems creates more problems. And so David, he said, if I could just fly away, I would. I'm harmless, I'm innocent, and that's okay if he's harmless and innocent. But he's wanting to, verse 7 says, wander far off. What happened the last time David was just wandering on the rooftops when he stayed home from battle? He saw Bathsheba, which created a whole lot of trouble. It is not God's will for us to wander. It's not God's will for any of us. He certainly sympathizes and empathizes with us when we're going through low times and struggle. And he knows when we just want to fly away and be at rest from all of it. But the truth be known that whenever we run from problems, it creates problems. And we could be creating a much bigger problem. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, there's times where I want to go on a sabbatical. And I'm really getting ready to set on a planner a time for that. Especially if we're not going to go out of town anywhere anytime soon. I told Christy, I said, I want to go on a sabbatical. I want to stay gone for a few days. And I want to really hear from God. And that's the truth. But things like that are fine. You have a set amount of time you want to be gone. Vacations are fine. You know, if you can make it and you can struggle and wrestle to your vacation time and you want to stay gone for a week, that is perfectly fine. And I hasten that time in my life. But to stay gone is not God's will. To run away is not God's will. To stay alone by yourself is not God's will. There are times when you're by yourself where Satan does his best work. He reminds of the struggles that you face, and he tries to remind us and make us believe that God has forgotten about us, that he doesn't care. He likes to accuse us of past failures. And what better time and place to do that when we've threw up our hands and quit and walked away? And so that's the problem. The problem with flying away for David was the very place he wanted to fly away, the wilderness. That's when trouble happens. He finishes his statement in verse number 8 and says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Who wouldn't want to hasten their escape? Who wouldn't want a change in their life to happen from their predicament? We all would. David wanted it, but it was something that David was going to have to figure out between him and the Lord. So we see David's wish, David's warfare. Then lastly, we see David's wisdom. Look in verse number 16. David, it's like he comes down, back down to earth. He knows he can't fly away. He knows he don't have wings. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. What about that? David says, I'm not going to fly away. I'm going to face my problems. Face my problems. He says, they can do what they want to do. They can keep on rising up against me and saying things about me. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to flee. I'm going to face my problems. He says, and when I face them, he says, I'll be prepared by prayer. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. So he recognizes his source, the Lord. He recognizes his responsibility is to call on the Lord. Verse number 17, evening, morning, and at noon. He says, I'm going to develop a prayer life out of this situation. And sometimes God does develop a consistent prayer life out of our storms of life. I know that God has done that for me several times, and through my salvation experience, my going on 20 years of being saved here in November, God has used adversity time and time again to drive me to my knees. He did that with Paul, and he's doing that here with David. David says, evening, morning, noon, I will pray and cry aloud. So he's still experiencing the pain. And listen, when God is at work in our life, it does not mean we won't experience pain. Does not mean we won't experience the heartbreak and feel those emotions. But the difference is we're going to him in prayer about it. And we're doing it often. There is a prayer life that's developing. And then he says in verse number 18, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. So David says God came through. He says the battle was there. He said, but God allowed peace to be there as well. Peace he gave me, David said, that was equivalent to the battle I was in. And so God delivers, and he delivers through peace. Sometimes he will not remove the obstacle in front of you. Sometimes he changes us in the process. Brother Berman used to say, sometimes he will either move the mountain or give you grace to climb it. And I find that to be true myself in my Christian life. He says, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Looks like he had a support team as well. He said many were with him. And that's the two biggest things tonight, church, is that we continue to be there for one another like we are, that support system, and that we as individuals have that consistent prayer life, calling on God for help. We may wish we could fly away and things would be different, but you know what? Chances are, if we were to be able to fly away from our predicaments, our situations in life, and we were all by ourselves, I have a suspicion that we might miss some of the things. Not the hardships, but we may miss some of the things that we were. We may miss the presence of God in our battles. We may miss that quiet time, that quiet place we had when we were going through that time of adversity. We may miss that if we were able to fly away. Because there is a sight of God that you experience while going through adversity. And I'll say this. I've voiced it many times about, you know, my prayer life. And I have much prayer and much more prayer to do. And so I don't ever want to sound like I've arrived at the area, because I have not. But every time I go out there and pray in my chair, it looks different now. Brother Jeff, it just looks different. I can remember going out there and praying so hard for our family situations and how broken I was, but how much I connected during that time, Brother David. Now, there's many other prayers that we need to be answered, but God has answered a lot of them this year. And when I go and pray in that chair now, it's still my secret place, but it's different. And I'll tell you what the difference was. There's a certain level of intimacy when you're going through adversity, when you pray, that's there, that's not there when you're not going through that level of intimacy. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that level of intimacy is there. It's just maybe the adversity is not. I don't know. But if we were to fly away, that intimacy would be missed. The lives that are touched by your situation, by you becoming stronger, by you facing your fears, and by you moving forward, the impact you're making on others, I'm sure that would be missed too if you were to fly away and you began to think about your situation. Man, you know, people kept saying that I was a blessing. People kept saying that, you know, that by me being stronger, they're stronger. Those things will be missed. So my challenge tonight to you is, although you may want wings to fly away, you've heard this before, just stay and fight. Just stay and fight. Put your foot down, get you a good foothold, you know, and set your flag right there. And you're staying to fight. You're going to continue where God wants you. You're going to continue to be that light God wants you to be. You're going to continue to thrive and to go after more in your Christian life as God would want you to. And you're not going to tuck tail and run. You're not going to give in to the highs and lows of emotions. Just base your life on God's word and his promises. And you too, and I too, will be able to say, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, Lord. So many times we teach and preach out of repetition, but Father, how many times we need to be repeated, Lord? It's very often. I know myself, I need to look at some scriptures over and over and over again. Let your word, Lord, find good ground tonight. I pray that it helps someone. I pray that something was said, somebody was encouraged, Lord. I pray that we would be ready to be a witness in these last days in which we live. Help us face our fears, face our problems. Call on you. Help us be a good support system here at Calvary so that we can see our brothers and sisters through their times of difficulty in life. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything to mention before we close service? All right. Well, thank you for weathering the rain and coming out here tonight. And pray God will bless you for it. You're dismissed.